The FBI has completed their further investigation of Judge Brett Kavanaugh as GOP senators push to bring his nomination to the full Senate for confirmation, likely as soon as Saturday for a final vote. Susan Johnson is an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater and director of their Center for Political Science and Public Policy Research. She joins us now to bring us up to speed. Susan, good to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, it seems like the big argument right now between Democrats and Republicans is over the scope of the FBI investigation, how many people they talked to, what they looked into. Can you talk about that?
Sure. It's interesting because when you listen to Republican senators comment on what they've seen in the report, they seem to be pretty much in lockstep that there's nothing in the report that suggests that any of the allegations have been corroborated. On the other hand, Democrats have been consistently saying very little about what's in the report and more so what's not in the report. And that speaks to your question.
Yeah. Who haven't they talked to that we know of so far that Democrats say, wait, they should be part of this investigation?
Well, there's a couple of different groups. I would say the first would be Julie Swetnick, who was a third woman who made accusations against Judge Kavanaugh, and she was not part of the investigation. And so what the investigators looked at were the accusations by Deborah Ramirez and by Christine Blasey Ford. So there's that third woman. And then secondarily, a lot of people have come forward who knew Brett Kavanaugh at the time of the allegations, who have contacted the FBI themselves and asked about being interviewed, and they were not interviewed. And then finally, Christine Blasey Ford herself was not spoken to by the FBI, nor Brett Kavanaugh, from what we understand.
Initially, the deadline for this investigation was set for tomorrow. Now we have this report. This is, I think, an unusual situation, Susan. It's done. There's a secured room. Senators are filing in and out and either looking at it or having portions of it read to them. This is an unusual bit of Senate work.
Yeah, it's interesting because apparently the report was delivered to the White House and then the Senate sometime in the middle of the night last night. The White House issued a statement at, I think, 2:29 a.m. this morning indicating information about the report. And then, as you said, first thing this morning, you had senators, on the hour. The Republicans had the first hour and then Democrats, and I believe it's gone on throughout the day, where this one copy is in a secured room and individuals can go in and read it, as you said.
We'll talk about kind of who's on the fence or hypothetically on the fence here, but I want to talk about the process a little. What we're hearing is a final vote on Saturday, a preliminary vote, a cloture vote tomorrow. What is cloture in the Senate?
So cloture means essentially cutting off the debate so that they can move forward on having the final deliberations and then the final vote. And both the cloture vote, which is scheduled to happen tomorrow, and then the final vote, which we're hearing maybe Saturday, require just a simple majority.
Now we have a 51-49 Republican majority in the Senate. Republicans can win a tie on this, a 50-50 vote with Vice President Pence breaking that tie. There's no filibuster on this stuff anymore, so a simple majority can do it. Everybody's watching some Democrats, especially in red states, who might vote for, and some Republicans who might theoretically vote against. Who are you watching most closely?
I think right now I'm watching Lisa Murkowski most closely on the Republican side, and Joe Manchin on the Democratic side. The people who we had been focusing on most closely on the Republican side were Susan Collins, Jeff Flake, and Lisa Murkowski. And I've seen statements from both Susan Collins and Jeff Flake indicating that they appeared satisfied with what they saw in the report. And on the Democratic side, Heidi Heitkamp is a Democratic senator from North Dakota who is it's a deeply red state. And then Joe Manchin is a Democratic senator from West Virginia, another deeply red state. And Heidi Heitkamp this afternoon came out and said she was going to vote no. So from what I understand, we still don't know about Manchin and Murkowski.
Talking to Susan Johnson from UW-Whitewater with the latest on the confirmation process for Judge Brett Kavanaugh after this week of FBI, some additional investigation into claims of sexual assault. Want to get into some of the wider issues and other stories going on related to this. On Tuesday of this week at a rally in Mississippi, President Trump mocked Christine Blasey Ford, the kind of the main and first accuser. Here's a listen to part of that.
36 years ago, this happened. I had one beer, right? I had one beer. Well, do you think it was? Nope, it was one beer. Oh, good. How did you get home? I don't remember. How'd you get there? I don't remember. Where is the place? I don't remember. How many years ago was it? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
Can you talk, Susan, about the response to that rally, including from Republican senators?
The response was the response that we've come to expect, I would say, when President Trump does something that is quite out of the ordinary and viewed by many as unacceptable. And so we heard Lindsey Graham say that that was, not helpful. I'm not sure the exact words he used. Those three senators that I mentioned earlier, Jeff Flake, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, both very strongly came out and said that this was not appropriate. Someone on the Republican side used the word appalling. And so there was pretty strong reaction. But again, that's generally what we get from Republican elected officials.
Nobody has said, because of that, we're going to change our vote. There's no at least overt statement that changes anything.
No, and I haven't heard anything to that effect. I've just heard, a few people condemn him, or several people condemn him for what they thought was not being helpful in the process and not necessarily being something that they would sign on to.
I want to get into some of the possible political fallout from all of this. There are these midterm elections going on. Democrats and a lot of polling had advantages in enthusiasm in generic congressional ballots. We've seen some Senate race polling now showing Republicans doing better than they had previously. Some Republicans are arguing, hey, all of this battle over Kavanaugh is going to rally Republican voters in a way that they weren't. It's going to get them out of any kind of lethargy they had. What are your thoughts on how this could all affect midterm elections?
I think that people are focusing in quite closely on a very recent poll that came out that, as you mentioned, made the case that Republican enthusiasm was now at a level that was fairly equal to Democratic enthusiasm, while it hadn't been at that level maybe a month ago or so. And so I think that has some Democrats concerned. I read an interesting piece this afternoon that suggested that perhaps whatever the outcome of the confirmation process is may then serve to energize one party or the other. So, for example, as it's looking, it appears that Judge Kavanaugh will be confirmed. And the thinking might be that then a reaction to that may be to re-energize the Democrats or amp that up a little bit. But, we don't know anything. The election is, it's getting close, but a lot can happen in 5 weeks. And so as of right now, though, there's been a resurgence of Republican energy, I would say.
And maybe in short run and a longer term issue is women and how they're reacting to the day to day, what's going on with Judge Kavanaugh, what we're hearing from President Trump. Is this something that might expand an already existing gender gap between the parties?
It could. I mean, if you think back to the confirmation hearings with Clarence Thomas and Anita Hill, that was what kicked off the first year of the woman, the 1992 election. And we're already in a period where over the past year and a half, and some would date it back even to the 2016 election, the idea of women being energized and mobilized. And I would think that some of what's going on right now with the Kavanaugh nomination and some of the reaction, let's say, to even the shift in the tone by people. Now, originally, they were very respectful of Dr. Ford and her allegations toward Judge Kavanaugh. And we've seen that kind of shift. And I think that might have an effect on how women are perceiving certain candidates and might re-energize or super energize them for November.
We're getting the latest on the Kavanaugh nomination and investigation. Susan Johnson is with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What should Wisconsin's two senators do? They're pretty much committed one way or the other on this, but what would you like to see them do when it comes time to vote tomorrow and Saturday on this nomination? What do you think of this FBI investigation happening? Was it more than was needed? Was it not enough? Should Brett Kavanaugh be the next U.S. Supreme Court justice? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. We're taking a look at where the nomination battle over Brett Kavanaugh is right now. Susan Johnson is with us, Associate Professor of Political Science at UW-Whitewater. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What did you think of that dramatic day of testimony from Christine Blasey Ford and Judge Brett Kavanaugh back on Thursday? What do you think of the way the Senate is handling this confirmation? Should Brett Kavanaugh be the next Supreme Court Justice of the United States? You can join in at 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Susan, before we go to our callers, Supreme Court justices, it's always been a big deal, I think, in American politics, but it seems like in the last 20, 30 years, it's this huge issue that people are voting on now. Do you see that?
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think back to the 2016 presidential election, we heard a lot from the Republican side, particularly in regard to the fact that there would be an open seat to be filled because the Senate would not consider Merrick Garland, President Obama's nominee to the Supreme Court, to replace Justice Scalia. So that was a very politically charged issue, and people were talking about it. And I think moving forward, we will see it even more so.
We heard from some listeners on Facebook. Brandy writes, this isn't about criminality at this point. It's about his honesty and demeanor. And some people have said, based on Brett Kavanaugh's especially emotional opening to his statement last Thursday, that he didn't have a judicial temperament. Some of his Republican defenders said, well, if he's a falsely accused person, you can understand that kind of passion. Is this an argument that is worth making? Does somebody have a, quote, judicial temperament?
I think that if you're asking whether or not it's an argument, you know, worth making in terms of swaying someone at this point, I don't know that it is going to make a difference. I mean, to be perfectly honest, but I think that big picture, stepping back, the idea of a certain Supreme Court justices having a certain temperament is something that I think people have come to expect. I think that also we hold our Supreme Court justices up as being somewhat, or not even somewhat, but we expect them to be nonpartisan. And when they're in their confirmation hearings, they often don't want to speak to political issues, and they don't want to speak to specific public policy issues because they don't want to be seen in that light. But what we saw from Judge Kavanaugh last week were statements that I think many people took to be quite overtly political, and that struck a lot of people as not very Supreme Court justice-like.
Let's go to our callers now at 800-642-1234. Judy is with us in Appleton. Judy, hello.
Hello. I totally think that Kavanaugh should not be on. I watched the full 9 hours of that thing. I couldn't go get away from it. And what I took away from it was the lady was scared to death, and she was asked a question, yes or no. She said yes or no. He was asked questions. He skirted around them and then totally got upset. And you can't have somebody doing that on the Supreme Court. And that's a forever thing. They should make that so that is not a forever appointment. That's my thing on it. But if they push him through, which they're going to, because I know they probably will, it's going to have a countrywide fallout on that.
Got it, Judy. Thanks a lot for the call. So Judy was swayed by Christine Blasey Ford's testimony and swayed against Brett Kavanaugh. Susan, do you think, Do you think the testimony changed a lot of people's minds, or did they just affirm what people came in with? I know it's like a bit of political psychology here, but what are your thoughts on that?
I think that it was interesting with the full day of hearings, because after she was done, we heard so many people come forward and say that they found her to be quite credible in what she had to say. Many Republicans came forward. Many senators said that she seemed quite credible. And then after Judge Kavanaugh, and he had his afternoon session, then you had some of those same people coming forward and then showing their support for Judge Kavanaugh. So, but I mean, honestly, in this highly charged partisan environment that we're in, I think a lot of people went in with a certain idea about what to expect. And I don't know how many minds were changed.
We heard from Rick on Facebook. Rick wrote, "The Salem witch trials are alive and well in the U.S., only now the witches are running the show. Careers and families can be destroyed with mere accusations. Be careful what and who you support, Democrats. You could be next." So is this process for Brett Kavanaugh going to poison future Supreme Court nominations, maybe when Democrats are making those nominations?
I don't know. What Rick is speaking about certainly has been getting a lot of attention. The president, one of the clips, another clip from that Mississippi rally had the president speaking about situations of false accusations, and he's personalized this in a way as well, because there's been several allegations against President Trump in regard to sexual harassment and sexual assault prior to him becoming president. So, I mean, I think that it's fitting into the narrative of being concerned about false accusations. But what the data show are that then, while there are false accusations, the number of false accusations are very, very small. Will they increase now? I don't know.
Go back to our callers. Keenan is on the line in Milwaukee. Keenan, hi.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
What do you think?
So I wanted to comment on, I think this whole thing, it seems as though to me that before even the there was a hearing, and it seems before even this has become like a national issue, it seems to me as though both sides, Democrats and Republicans, really already had made up their minds. And I've seen so many people comment on these issues, and it doesn't seem as though the trial has there's been the ability for us to figure out what exactly happened. And it seems as though every question and every conclusion from both sides is made entirely based on their either believing that something happened, or their belief that the accusations are completely uncredible.
Keenan, thanks a lot for the call. Yeah, it's very possible, Susan, that the vote that happens, if it does happen on Saturday, will be very similar to what might have happened 2 weeks ago or before any of these accusations came out. Maybe one or two Democratic senators might vote against that might have voted for. All this and not much changes.
I think that Judge Kavanaugh likely would have gotten about 54 or 55 votes if we had not had the allegations that came out after the initial hearings and testimony were over. I think that you would have had a number of red state Democrats who would have supported him, thinking strategically and politically about the November election. And so I think that while it would have been close, it wouldn't have been razor thin like it is right now.
Thanks, Keenan, for calling. We'll go down to John in Duluth, Minnesota. John, hi.
Hi, and we don't have much time. I had two things I was going to mention. When I heard the hearing of just Kavanaugh, I was impressed with his knowledge, and even though I vote Democratic most of the time, I would have been fine with his confirmation. After I saw the hearing with Ford and Kavanaugh, I couldn't support a guy like that. So it changed my mind about him. Secondly, in terms of Trump's comments at that rally, I was at a party where a girl was gang raped, and I don't know exactly what year it was. I think I was 16, but I'm not sure. I remember one person, a friend of mine, was at the party. I don't remember who else was at the party. I don't know how I got there or how I got home, but I do remember that incident, and I remember her leaving and the guys calling her a slut and all that. Those details I remember. Mm-hmm.
John, thanks a lot. We don't have a lot of time. Thanks for sharing that story. And Susan, I want to talk about that, the impact this could have apart from this nomination. A lot of people are talking about sexual assault. We've seen this Twitter trend, why I didn't report. This is maybe changing something on a wider level, even outside of politics in the United States.
I think so. And I think, again, to get back to the Clarence Thomas Anita Hill hearings that raised awareness about workplace sexual harassment, I think that this is going to raise awareness of sexual assault and sexual harassment that happens amongst young people in this country.
We'll leave it there for now, Susan, and watch for what happens over the next couple of days. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
You're very welcome.
Susan Johnson is an associate professor of political science at UW-Whitewater and director of the Center there for Political Science and Public Policy Research. She joined us to talk about the latest developments in the Brett Kavanaugh Supreme Court nomination and this FBI investigation that is wrapped up. U.S. senators, probably as we speak, reviewing that information. By the way, the U.S. Senate is scheduled to hold a cloture vote tomorrow. That's that preliminary vote. That's tomorrow, Friday, to close debate on the nomination of Judge Brett Kavanaugh to the U.S. Supreme Court. You can hear that broadcast live here on the Ideas Network. It is scheduled to start at 9 tomorrow morning. Coming up tomorrow afternoon on Central Time, we'll look at the U.S. decision to opt out of a long-term treaty with Iran amid a wider breakdown of relations over the last few months. The author of a new book on Ebola tells us how the epidemic spread, how to prevent it in the future, and what the disease tells us about public health and how we deal with outbreaks. And it's October. We'll get a taste of some Oktoberfest beers. A beer expert joins the show with some great recommendations. That and more tomorrow on Central Time.